thank you for this very generous introduction. I am here to sort of open the day and give a kind of very general perspective, which I'm sure will be then dealt with more in depth by other papers. This is just an introductory slide about the project, which was funded by AHRC, a collaborative project between Royal Holloway British Library and University of Reading, devised and directed by Jane Everson, and assisted by Dennis Reed and Lisa Sampson, with Joel Lorenzo, Gianfrancesco, and myself as researchers, and the PhD student Thomas Denman. As a summary of the presentation, I shall first take you through a path across the Italian Academy's database, also called IAD. I shall also explain the use of digital humanities that are possible on this database, and I will be using the material provided to us by Professor Casarosa from the University of Pisa and CNR, who also gave us a presentation last year in Florence about a new kind of relational database. And then I shall be speaking about the enhancement of the IAD. Where could we, in general, where could we move forward? What could we add to the material that is already available at the British Library? Manuscript sources, printed sources, oral exchange, and visual art. And then finally, sort of a broad overview about the liaison with other research projects that have been flourishing in the past years, about academies, about the networks of knowledge throughout Italy and Europe. As a first sort of introduction to the IAD, for those of you who are less familiar with it, this is a relational database that is constructed around three main areas which are connected by the hypertext. The areas are academies, which were created between 1500 and 1700. These are the boundaries that we have chosen to analyze. The publications related to these academies and the persons involved in either academies or publications. We have so far about 9,000 entries, including roughly 1,000 books, 600 academies throughout 22 cities, and about 7,000 individuals with different roles inside this relational database. The database is not complete. We have preferred to sort of emphasize research on lesser known centers such as Ferrara, Padua, Bologna, and even less explored southern cities such as Messina, Bari, Brindisi. But we have, for instance, kind of sacrificed or at least put on hold Florence, which is certainly a major center of academic activity. So this is the landing page of the Italian Academy's database, and I shall give you a sort of an introduction on how it works, what can we find in this database. So if I start from the Accademia Albina, which is the academy founded by Aldo Manuzio in Venice in the late 1400, early 1500, also because the definition of academy is one of the kind of thorny issues that this research has showed. Basically, and to me, I have an interpretation which is very broad and kind of inclusive, basically, of all the kind of institutions, but also groups, informal, more formal, that call themselves academy. So this is why I started from the Accademia Aldina. For some scholars, this academy never existed. For others, instead, it did exist. But what is important is that if we click on the Accademia Aldina, we have a kind of summary of the page. A page that is a summary of the main elements of the academy. This is the list of books published in relation to the academy, or where Aldo Manuzio chose to write in Edibus Aldi, Academia, Ne Academia, etc. And I quickly click on this book that is one of the books that Aldo published about Latin literature. What is interesting is that by clicking on Venice, we enter into a page that shows all the books that were published in Venice, contained, of course, in the database, showing that basically many books were published in Venice by academies that didn't really, were not sort of settled in Venice. So one good example is this Ingannati, Commedia del Sacrificio degli Intronati, which is one of the very first publications by the famous Accademia degli Intronati. And here we have the page describing the content of the book through the paratext only. The Accademia degli Intronati is certainly one of the most, if not the most famous of early modern academies, and is the one that officially starts the academic movement, because it gave itself membership rules and regulations. So it is normally considered the first academy in Italy. This is once again the summary of the page of the summary of the Academy, with the emblem of the Academia, the famous gourd for storing salt. And this is the very long list of books that are held in the British Library collections related to the Accademia degli Intronati. If we scroll down, we have the whole list of all academicians, and I normally stop on this interesting person, Piccolomini, Alessandro Piccolomini, who was among the first wave of Intronati, but he then moved to Padua, where he wanted to study philosophy, and once in Padua, he helped constructing the putting together the Accademia degli Infiammati, where we then click and we enter once again another descriptive page of the main elements of the Accademia degli Infiammati. From Padua, we can travel to Bologna through Benedetto Varchi, who was one of those bees who traveled across the northern Italy and was involved in the experimentation of the Umidi in Florence, and then moved also to Padua, where he participated in the meetings of the Infiammati Academy, but also in Bologna, where he took part to the meetings of the Accademia Bocchiana. So here we are in Bologna now, in the Accademia Bocchiana, created by Achille Bocchi, the professor of humanities at the University of Bologna. This is the list of books related to the Academy, and in the list of people, I wanted to briefly mention Carlo Sigonio, a famous antiquarian of the time, who was involved in the Accademia Bocchiana, but also the Accademia Veneziana. And so here we go back to Venice. We are at a later generation than the Accademia of Aldo Manuzio, but we are kind of still related to Aldo Manuzio, because the printer of the Accademia Veneziana was Paolo Manuzio, who was the son of Aldo, and he printed basically all the books published by the Accademia Veneziana. Now, in the Accademia Veneziana, the book Somma delle Opere, che in tutte le scienze e arti, this is basically the summary of all books that the Academy proposes to publish in the future. Research so far has highlighted poetry and philosophy as the main elements of the publications by the Accademia Veneziana. However, and here I return to my PowerPoint presentation, the Accademia Veneziana meant to publish a long list of books related to politics. Precisely the list of books related to politics that I analyzed made me suggest that there is a strong link between this academy and a later publication, about 30 years later, called Tesoro Politico, which was the nightmare of my PhD dissertation. In fact, it is a publication that nobody really knows exactly where it appeared. It was issued by the anonymous Accademia Italiana di Colonia, and it contains precisely a list of writings that match a lot the projects of the Accademia Veneziana. This is just to give you a very short example of the kind of findings that this relational database has allowed. Now, to pass on to the use of digital humanities. The fact is that the database, as it is constructed, allows a research that is based on very detailed data and connected in a very detailed way. Professor Vittore Casarosa from the CNR and the University of Pisa just mentioned that the input of data represent, of course, the cultural capital that feeds digital humanities tools. And he said so when he showed to us a new relational database that kind of can help expanding the number and the nature of the inquiries, of queries that we can pose to the database. So far, the database that we have constructed at the British Library allows a limited kind of research. So, the Professor Casarosa relied on the new generation of databases that are called graph databases that connect nodes through relationships. And in a graph database, what he stressed was the fact that it is much easier to follow relationships to any degree of distance. And this is the example, the first example I wanted to show you. Now, here we have, for instance, in pink we have the cities, in violet we have the academies, in red we have the books. And for instance, we can see that Bologna and Roma are at the center of the most important number of publications, basically. A bit in the outskirts we have Urbino and Rimini, and we can see that Bologna is linked to Urbino via a publication called La Tavola Rotonda and Clorinda, whereas Urbino and Rimini are linked through a publication called La Selva Poetica. So this is one of the queries that Professor Casarosa asked this new relational database, and something that we couldn't really do on our database unless we wanted to analyze page by page and see what was published where and who was responsible for what. In terms of books and academies, we have Umoristi, Oziosi, and Infuriati here that are linked by the Esseque Poetiche per Lope de Vega, whereas we have the Accademia, the Selva Poetica, which is at the center of this network of four academies, and the Accademia della Notte and Umoristi here and Accademia della Notte here, which share this I Furori della Gioventù, one publication. On a slightly, perhaps less strong kind of methodology, a less strong example, let's put it this way, the topic by city. So here, Professor Casarosa showed us that cities can be linked not only through academies, but also through topics. Because, in fact, we have here the politics as a topic that connects Bologna, Naples, and Padua through very different publications, such as Sacred Poetry, Historical Dialogue on the City of Naples, or Gelati's Essays and Ricovrati's Prose and Rime. It is true that if we input the word politics in the main search of the database, we immediately have a list of books published and sort of that contain the term politics. So this is probably less, I see it slightly less useful at this stage, but certainly it gives an idea of the possibilities that can be, that this new graph, a new sort of relational database offers. So at the moment, Professor Casarosa is seeking an assistant, or is seeking actually an undergraduate, postgraduate student who it can actually sort of use the entirety of the database that we have constructed in order to see also the links that I didn't mention because there was no time to do it in the first place. Professor Casarosa didn't really do the inquiry about the prosopography, the connection between people and academies, people and cities. I think and I hope I've given you an idea of the complexity of the queries that we can pose to this kind of new relational database. Then also in terms of publications, a critical bibliography or contributions dedicated to academies is also on its way, as well as an article that aims to combine the narrative of the YAD, as I showed to you, and also the sort of the potentials of the new graph that have been showed by Professor Casarosa. In terms of the announcement of the YAD, in view of a future project, we should, I think, it would be very useful to see what else could we include in a database that originally was devised to include the publications, the printed publications that are held in the British Library. So certainly we should take into account, I think, the research that has been done recently by Professor Brian Richardson on the connection between orality, manuscript, and printed culture as interconnected and blurred sort of ways of disseminating knowledge in the early modern period. Of course, the academies offer an extremely privileged point of view for this kind of research. So, in order to follow these suggestions, certainly an area dedicated to manuscript culture would be useful, an area dedicated to oral culture, and an area dedicated to visual culture. We shouldn't forget that the academies sponsor the artists for devising their emblems or for organizing funerals, decorations at funerals and weddings of their fellow academicians. In terms of collaborations, and here I come to the last part of the presentation, certainly we are in dialogue with the Medici Archive Project, and more we shall hear from Alessia Sonitis later, in order to see whether it is possible to adapt this new YAD in the MIA that the Medici Archive Project is devising at present. In terms of other projects, Lira, Archilet, Autografi dei Letterati Italiani, we are organizing, or at least they are organizing in Rome, a search engine that can find data on these separate projects and see whether we can combine them together. The relationship between universities and academies was one of the questions that we posed at the beginning of the research project, and this is certainly finding a good link with the International Center for the History of Italian Universities, CISUI, and of this Maria Teresa Guerrini will tell us a bit more later, but they are working on prosopographies of students, professors in Italian universities, and this would be extremely useful for us. di Unistrasi, di Accademia, dell'Università per Stranieri di Siena, has recently created an international center for 17th century studies, and together with Accademia della Crusca and Istituto San Galli, they are planning a research project on Tuscan academies in the long 17th century, roughly 1575 to 1725. There was a meeting yesterday to which I couldn't go for obvious reason, but this is one other project. Professor Paolo Procaccioli and colleagues from three universities, Urbino, Roma Tre, Viterbo and Pisa, have submitted a project recently that actually I was very pleased to see that is following some of the research questions that we have posed in the beginning of our project: the cultural continuity of academies within specific cities, the relationship between academies and the printing press, and academies and their laws and regulations and membership rules and regulations. All academies had membership rules and regulations. How many? We don't know. So I think that the sort of storing data and analyzing data by data and then sort of analyzing this amount of information that we are putting together will be and could be certainly an extremely useful tool for further research in sort of the story of this fascinating cultural phenomenon. Thank you very much.